How well do you know Jesus? We're going to talk about that on this episode of the Gary Zimak Show. Stay tuned. Here we go. Hey there, welcome. Come on in, make yourself at home. My name is Gary Zimak, and I'm so glad that you're here with me today on Blog Talk Radio for day two of our Lenten radio retreat. How's your Lent going so far? We're one day into it. Good so far? All right. I'm really glad you came back for another day. I hope you enjoyed the program last night. That's pretty much the format that we're going to follow for the next several weeks throughout the Lenten season. Each day on the show, we will look at a little excerpt from Matthew Kelly's book, Rediscover Jesus, and then we'll take a look at the daily Mass readings. Yesterday's readings were powerful. They started us out. They started Lent out the right way. We took a look at the prophet Joel, mentioning the need for us to repent, to turn away from sin and turn to the Lord. That's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be doing this. But don't get ahead of yourself. We will do this one day at a time together. I'll be here with you. We're going to go through this journey together. You strengthen me. Hopefully I can strengthen you. Let's continue to pray for one another and make this the best Lent we've ever had. 2016 will be the best Lent we have ever had. That's going to be our objective. And certainly, it's a very realistic goal for the Lenten season. We certainly want to go into Lent with the idea that we're going to make it our best ever. And because we can't control the past, we've wasted Lents in the past. I know I have. The ones in the future, they're not guaranteed. So we're going to focus on this year throughout this whole process. If you're a new listener, if you're somebody who's been with me for a while, you know the deal. I am always here. If I can help you in any way, please email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I would really ask for your prayers, not just for me, although I really do need them, but for everyone who is making this Lenten radio retreat. Pray continuously each day that we will all grow closer to our Lord this Lent. And let the Holy Spirit take charge. So many times we can be too hard on ourselves and we think that we should be at a different point spiritually. Oh, I'm not making enough progress. I should be making better progress. No, just take it one day at a time. Do your best. Do the work. Ask the Lord to help and you're going to be fine. The Holy Spirit will bring you along at the pace you need to be brought along. It's, you know, we can't get ahead of ourselves. So, I hope you're ready to go with another day. What we're going to do, we're going to say a quick prayer. We're going to go into Matthew's material, and then we will talk about today's daily Mass readings. Before we begin, I need to take a sip of my beverage du jour, which is Mystic Monk Coffee. You know, I want to bring up something before we go any further. Since we talked about it last night, and we many people have come up to me and asked, what can we give up for Lent? We feel we should be giving up something for Lent. And I talked last night about it. You might want to deny yourself in some way each day, but you want to make it realistic. You want to make it doable. One of the things that I'm doing, and I may have mentioned this on the program yesterday, it slips my mind if I did it or not, but I've eliminated having cream or milk in my coffee. So I'm just drinking it black. It's a little thing, but it's a form of suffering. It's a form of self-denial. And we're going to hear a message from Jesus in the gospel today. It's a message that isn't maybe the most pleasant thing to hear, but it's what he said. We can't change what he said. And I do want to elaborate on it a little bit. Self-denial, if done for the sake of uniting yourself closer to the Lord, and if done in union with him, and if you stay close with him, it will not bring you misery, but it will bring you happiness and peace. It's a paradox. It's hard for us to understand, but it really is true. There are little ways that we can deny ourselves each day. I personally am not going to give up the sweets, give up the chocolate completely. I had a spiritual director one time who told me, if you want to deny yourself, do little things. Instead of eating a whole candy bar, eat half of it. Maybe give the other half away. Then you not only deny yourself, but you practice an act of charity. I mean, it sounds simple, but sometimes we try to overcomplicate our faith. And because we overcomplicate it, we fail so often. And when we fail, the devil loves this. The devil wants us to fail. Start slow. Set yourself realistic goals. Our goal this Lent is to grow closer to Christ. That's what I intend to do. That's what I know you intend to do, because you're here listening to this retreat. We can do that. And we can do it by taking one day at a time and by setting realistic goals. So I just wanted to share that with you, just so you have some idea. There are many little things that you could do. Get up 10 minutes earlier and say some prayers. You know, these are very simple things. Stop at an adoration chapel before work, on the way home from work. Spend 5 minutes in the presence of Jesus. Talk to him. Tell him you love him. Thank him for dying on the cross for you. There are so many things we can do. We don't have to go all out and completely give up something cold turkey. If you want to do that, that's fine too. But I told you my story. When I have done that in the past, I became so focused on what I gave up that I was literally not even thinking about Jesus. I was just thinking about how soon it can be till I would eat cake again. You know, I mean, that's the way I am. But you might be different. I just put that out there because I don't want you to be too hard on yourself. I want you to grow closer to Jesus Christ. That's what I want you to do. I'm going to stretch you enough on this program using Matthew's book, and I'll add some things to it. You're going to be stretched. Don't worry. But I want you to end Lent closer to Christ than when you began it. That's our goal here. And I know that goal is achievable. So again, if you have questions, Gary@followingthetruth.com is the place to get in touch with me. Just give me a little time. It may take me a day or two to respond to you, especially if I'm traveling. I have some trips coming up later in the month and next month. So just be a little patient with me, if you would. All right, let's get right to the show. Let's place ourselves in the presence of our Father God and ask for his blessings on us and for the time we're about to spend together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for giving us another day. Please help us as we continue our Lenten journey. We want to grow closer to you through your Son, Jesus, Father. We want to be drawn into the relationship between you, your Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're so grateful for your willingness to become involved in our lives. Help us as we walk the road that will one day, with your help, lead to eternal life in heaven. We want that more than anything else. We don't want anything more than we want to live with you in heaven. But we need help, and we ask for your help. I ask you to speak through me today, to speak through me and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to the message that you have for us. We ask you to help those who are sick, anyone who is lonely or anxious, struggling in any way with financial difficulty, with addiction. Many people are suffering because they don't have enough food to eat. Many people are suffering from religious persecution or extreme weather conditions. They might be homeless. We ask you to help them all, to draw them closer to you, and to comfort them. And we also present to you our own personal needs, Father. We ask you to handle them for us and to help us to stay focused on you and not so much on our problems. We ask you for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother, as we do every day. This, the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, we turn to our Blessed Mother and we ask her to pray for us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Lourdes, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, thanks for praying with me. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Gary Zimak. If you want to find out more information about me, the work that I do, the books that I have out, if you'd like to invite me to speak at your parish, you can visit my website, followingthetruth.com. While you're there, I'd ask you to please consider making a purchase of Mystic Monk Coffee, the greatest coffee you will ever drink. And also consider, if you're a shopper from Amazon.com, you would help me greatly. By every time you go to Amazon, instead of going to Amazon.com directly, by going to my website, followingthetruth.com, and clicking on the Amazon image right there. You're going to get the same prices as you would if you went to Amazon directly, but the fact that you came from my website flags all of your purchases and results in a commission for me on anything that you purchase. That's the way I keep my full-time ministry running, And that's the way I keep this program free of charge on the air. You could really help me out that way. And of course, if you could, if you'd be interested in doing so, I could very much use your financial donations too. You could do that by going to the donate tab and making a secure donation through PayPal. It's really, really important to me, and I'm very grateful for your support. You are the reason I'm here. That's why I've been in full-time ministry for 4 years, and I'm very grateful for your support. All right, let's shift gears now. Let's talk about Rediscover Jesus. Yesterday, we talked about new beginnings, a fresh start. Are you ready for a fresh start? We are starting a Lent that we never started before. You have a new opportunity, Lent 2016. This is a brand new one. You've never had this Lent before. Matthew told us to look at Matthew Kelly told us to look at St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 7. In the words of Jesus, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. Ask, search, knock. A-S-K. Remember the memory aid, ask. If you don't ask, you're probably not going to receive. So ask the Lord for a new beginning, because it is possible. Now, I hope you thought about that last night. That leads us into our material for today, which is chapter 2, Getting to Know Jesus. Now, if you're someone who thinks that that's an unrealistic goal, or thinks maybe that, well, that's just like a fluffy saying, I can assure you that it's not. But we're going to look at some things today that might make you a little bit uncomfortable. And to that I say, good. We need to be uncomfortable when it comes to our relationship with Jesus. And the reason being is that we have to, before we can grow closer to him, we have to first assess our relationship and realistically address the weaknesses in that relationship. I need to grow closer to Jesus. And I'm sure you do too. No matter how close we are to him, we need to grow closer. That should be the goal for the rest of our life. But I can assure you that it is possible to have a close personal friendship with Jesus Christ. And a lot of times we get caught up in that saying, the personal relationship with Jesus, Jesus is my friend, blah, blah, blah. It's not true. It's just a nice saying. No, it is true. I talk to my friend Jesus all the time. I still want to get a lot closer to him, but it is possible to become friends with him. You're just not going to do it in the traditional way. My book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps, will be out in the next couple of weeks. When it comes out, we'll talk more about it, but you can pre-order it right now if you're interested. That is the method that I've used to grow closer to Christ, and I'm still working on it. When you take my method and fold in Matthew Kelly's method in Rediscover Jesus, you're going to have a good 1-2 punch to help you grow closer to Jesus. So today let's talk about getting to know Jesus. God the Father wants us to know his Son. How well do you know Jesus? I think about this often, and I always come to the same realization. I don't know Jesus anywhere near as well as I would like to know him. The desire is there, but life gets in the way. There are times when I seem to be making great progress, and other times when I wonder if I know him at all. Don't you like what Matthew said right there? The desire to know Jesus is there, but life gets in the way. How many times has that happened to you? How many times have you started Lent? Because Lent's that time of year when we, Lent and Advent, really the two times of year, I think Lent more so, they are the two times of the year when we really take it seriously, take our relationship with the Lord seriously, and we think, you know what, I'm going to get better. I'm going to make it happen this Lent. I'm really going to get to know the Lord, or I'm going to become a better person. I'm really going to take it seriously. And then what happens? As he said, life gets in the way. Things happen. Your day-to-day activities just seem to get in the way. Your worries, your distractions, your troubles, your busyness. Before you know it, you forgot all about it, and Lent's gone. Let's not do that this year. All right, back to the book. But I always arrive back at the same inspiring and haunting idea. If there is one person we should get to know in a deeply personal way, it is Jesus, the carpenter from Nazareth, the itinerant preacher, the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lamb of God, the new Adam, the Messiah, the Alpha and the Omega, the Chosen One, the Light of the World, the God-man who wants good things for us more than we want them for ourselves, the Healer, of our souls. How well do you know him? Give yourself a score right now between 1 and 10. Sure, it's a hard thing to measure, but you know if you're a 2 or an 8. You might not know if you're a 6.453, but you have a sense of where you are on the spectrum. So I want you to think about that even when the show's done tonight. Think about that. Sit back and think, how well do I know Jesus? On a scale from 1 to 10, where do I rate myself? And here's what I want you to do. I want you to be as honest as possible. If you want, come up with the rating and then take it down by a factor of 1 to be totally realistic. Because I think it's better to underestimate your relationship with Jesus rather than overestimate it. So if you come out to be a 2, fine. It's good that you know that, because that's exactly what we need to work with. And then you'll be able to measure your progress at the end of this Lent, next year. I think you're going to be impressed. Okay, Matthew says, think about all the people in your life. You have your immediate and extended family and your closest friends. Then there are the people you spend a lot of time with simply because your lives overlap. Not necessarily by choice, but as a result of work, school, or your children's schedules. You also have acquaintances, people you know just a little bit, whom by chance or choice you have never really gotten to know. And of course, there are people who just crossed your path, strangers. Where does Jesus fit into the spectrum of people in your life? I don't know Jesus anywhere near as well as I should, and my relationship with him isn't nearly as dynamic as I would like it to be. And the thing that unsettles me is that sometimes I think I know people on the periphery of my life better than I know Jesus. Try this. Grab some paper and write down everything you know about Jesus. Everything. You may be surprised how quickly you run out of things to write. I was. And again, this is something you might want to try tonight. Just sit down and write down everything that you know about Jesus and see where you end up. Consider this. How would you describe Jesus to someone who knows nothing about him? You'd probably tell the story, but how well do you know the story of Jesus Christ? It is the most powerful story ever told, but it loses its power when we take it for granted. It loses its power when we become so familiar with it that we stop hearing it as part of our own story. When we remove ourselves from the story of Jesus Christ, we become immune to the life-changing message of the gospel and become slaves to the world. It's time to rediscover Jesus. Have you ever met someone and discovered he was nothing like what you thought he would be? Before you met him, you knew about him. But knowing about someone is not the same as knowing someone. And that's an important point. Knowing about Jesus is a lot different than knowing him. Whenever I make the effort to rediscover Jesus, he surprises me. He confounds the stereotypes, reveals unconsidered possibilities, rearranges my priorities, liberates me from the chaos of the world, reminds me what matters most and what matters least, and brings real order to my life. Jesus fills me with the lightheartedness that comes from knowing that our Father in heaven indeed does have a plan, even when I'm too blind to see it, too arrogant to trust it, or too foolish to surrender to it. Yes, I think it's time for me to rediscover Jesus, and I'd like to invite you to join me. Who is Jesus? He's an invitation. There are so many ways to answer that question, but in a very simple and beautiful way, Jesus is God's invitation to live an incredibly abundant and fulfilling life. Today's point to ponder, Jesus wants to have a deep, dynamic, personal relationship with you. That's pretty cool, and that's so true. And you know, even if he had a relationship with everyone else in the world, but didn't have one with you, he would be sad, because Jesus can feel sadness. He's got a human heart, because that's how much he loves you. This is personal. He wants that relationship with you. A verse to live, I am the good shepherd, John 10:11. Question to consider, how well do you really know Jesus? And today's prayer, Jesus, open my heart and my mind so that I can get to know you as you really are. There you go. That's our material for today. Think about it. Think tonight about how much you really know Jesus. Write down some things about him and see where you stand. Give yourself a rating and get ready to go. Don't let it make you feel sad. Let it inspire you. because we're going to start to rediscover or to discover Jesus for the first time. I don't care where you fall. You could be a zero. And we're going to discover Jesus together. Okay? Sound good? Any questions, email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's take a look at our Mass readings today for Thursday, February the 11th. And I really hope you could stick with me for the rest of the remaining 10 minutes of the show, because here's where we get to hear the Lord speak to us. It's important. We heard Matthew Kelly, we heard Gary Zimak, but now we're going to hear the Lord speak to us through the pages of sacred scripture, which is incredibly important. People tell me sometimes God never speaks to me. Well, if you read the Bible, he does speak to you. So with that in mind, let's look at today's first readings. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. Moses said to the people, "Today I have set before you life and prosperity, death and doom. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin on you today, loving him and walking in his ways, and keeping his commandments, statutes, and decrees, you will live and grow numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to occupy. If, however, you turn away your hearts and will not listen, but are led astray and adore and serve other gods, I tell you now that you will certainly perish. You will not have a long life on the land that you are crossing the Jordan to enter and occupy. I call heaven and earth today to witness against you. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Choose life, then, that you and your descendants may live by loving the Lord your God, heeding his voice, and holding fast to him. For that will mean life for you, a long life for you to live on the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Now, do you want to choose life? That would be the thing to choose. If you're not sure, yes, you do want to choose life. We're going to hear a message from Jesus in today's gospel that seems almost like a contradiction, but it's an incredibly important point to make. The life that we choose should be eternal life. We don't want to settle just for this life, because this life is only a mere fragment of what the Lord has in mind for us. And too many times we sell out and we look for all the pleasure in this life, but this life's going to be over in the blink of an eye. Wait till you hear what Jesus has to say, and I'm going to tell you, that should be our goal. Our goal should be to follow Jesus. Remember, we want to become friends with Jesus, so he's going to speak to us. We don't want to turn him into somebody that he's not, and that happens a lot. We'll turn Jesus into our own version of Jesus. "Well, my version of Jesus approves of me not going to Mass on Sunday." No, that's your Jesus. The real Jesus wants you to go to church on Sunday. The real Jesus is going to challenge you because he loves you. The real Jesus is going to tell you things that you don't always want to hear. The responsorial psalm today is Psalm 1. "Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Blessed the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the ways of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. He is like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, not so. They are like chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes." Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Our hope lies in the Lord. Our hope for eternal life lies in the Lord. I'm telling you, you're on the right track. By participating in this retreat, what does that say? That says that you are taking Lent seriously. You know that your hope is in the Lord. That's a good thing. A lot of people don't even realize that. A lot of people are thinking, why waste your time with Lent? It's just a silly tradition. No, it's not a silly tradition. It's a great time of mercy, where we turn away from our sin and turn to the Lord. It's an amazing gift that the church gives us. Let's look at the gospel, Luke 9, verses 22 through 25. And again, this is a tough message, but this is a direct quote. You're going to hear a direct quote from Jesus. "Do you consider yourself to be a follower of him? Well, if so, let's listen to what you have to do to be a follower of Jesus." Luke 9, 22 through 25. Jesus said to his disciples, "The Son of Man must suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit is there for one to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit himself?" Isn't that amazing? One thing about Jesus, he's not going to tell you something that feels good just because that's what you want to hear. He's going to give you the truth. And here's the difficult thing for us to accept. If we follow Jesus, even though it's not easy, to follow Jesus, even when the times are difficult for us, it's the way that we are going to experience peace. But again, it's counterintuitive. It's not what we would expect. It's not what we would expect at all, but it's absolutely true. Jesus told his disciples that he would have to suffer greatly and be rejected by the elders. Now, why would any of us think that we would not have to suffer if Jesus had to suffer? It doesn't make any sense. Anybody that tells you that you will not have to suffer, that if you grow close enough to the Lord, you won't have to suffer, or that he wants you to not experience any suffering, well, there is no biblical basis for that. There's no basis in reality for that. So what's the good news? Jesus said, if you want to follow after me, if you want to come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily. And the thing about Luke's version of this message, Luke is the only one who adds that one word. That word is a killer. Take up your cross daily. Every day, you and I are required to take up our cross. Does that mean we will always have a very intense or large cross each day? No, it doesn't. But we've got minor crosses each day. Waiting in traffic. Standing in line at the store. Listening to someone tell us a story when it bores us. Going to work when we'd rather go fishing or something. You know, these are things, maybe not feeling well. These are crosses that we all have. We have them every day. And during Lent, we also try to take on some sort of a voluntary cross. Again, no cream in the coffee. Having water instead of a soft drink. Eating one cookie instead of two. Little things. These are crosses. We don't recognize these as crosses sometimes, but they really are. So the Lord said, if you want to follow after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. That's what I talked about earlier when we were talking about the first reading. If we try to save this life, our earthly life, and avoid any suffering, avoid giving money to charities, avoid doing good things for other people because we don't feel like it, it's too uncomfortable for us, avoid praying because we'd rather watch TV or go on the internet. If we live solely for this life, then we're ultimately going to lose our eternal life. What does that mean? That means that if we don't follow Jesus in this life, we could end up in hell. That's true. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. That is absolutely true. Any one of us, including me, including Matthew Kelly, including you, we could go to hell. But what we need to do is follow the Lord every day. If we do that and we listen to him and we cooperate with the grace that he gives us, he's not even asking us to be good on our own, then we'll get to heaven. It's not that difficult. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord, our responsorial psalm. We can make it to heaven. It's not that hard, but it's a daily struggle. It's a struggle because our fallen human nature seeks pleasure. So sometimes we don't want to do the right thing. So we have been promised eternal life as long as we stick to the Lord. Stick with me. Okay, does that sound good? Believe it or not, I'm out of time. I hope to be back tomorrow, God willing. I hope you'll be able to join me. Have yourself a wonderful night. I can't wait to do this again tomorrow. God bless.